this morning, we are on the third lesson of our One Another series. Does anybody know how we began? Does anybody remember 2 weeks ago how we began with the first of the One Another's? Oh, come on, wake up.
Love.
We started with love one another. That's right. Love one another. That's foundational to all the one another's. You cannot do any of this without the strength of Christ. So we love because he first loved us. Then last week we talked about kindness. Be kind to one another. And this week we're going to talk about bearing one another's burdens. Galatians 6, 1 through 5, bearing one another's burdens. Has anybody noticed in here that life is difficult? Did anybody give a testimony that life is indeed difficult to you? Yeah, I get it too. Life is filled with burdens that must be borne. And you know, it's God's intention for the church to walk with each other in community and bear one another's burdens. Let me read today's scripture. It is from, as I said, Galatians 6, 1 through 5. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one of us should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one of us should carry his own load." For a few minutes, I'd like to examine this command that Paul has given us. And then we'll work our way toward a more practical application. In the first verse, Paul gives instructions concerning our responsibility to help a believer who is stuck in sin. He says that we're to come alongside that brother or sister and help restore them with a spirit of gentleness. And then in verse 2, Paul commands that we bear one another's burdens. Now the fact that the command of verse 2 follows the command of verse 1 suggests that this is one form of burden bearing. Now helping another believer overcome the burden of sinful behavior is one way that we can help. Now, as Christians, we should never believe that we're totally independent. Now, and that we do not need help from others. In fact, the Western philosophy of rugged individualism did not exist in the first century church. They would not even know what we were talking about, to live a life individually. When a brother and sister is trapped in sin, we're called to come alongside that person to restore them. And there shouldn't be any feelings of superiority because, frankly, they're by the grace of God for you and I. It's important to remember that we're weak and we could easily stumble as well. Another thing that I'd like you to know, though, is there is an appropriate way to walk alongside a person and to share their burdens. There are healthy ways to do that. You have to do it in such a way to help. You have to do it in such a way that you don't internalize the other person's situation. You want to walk alongside without needing to internalize. There's a healthy way to do it. There are situations, however, though, that may be more than you'll be able to do. And it's okay to intercede for professional help or on a person's behalf. There's some sins that are deep, and there's some struggles that a non-professional will be able to handle in a way that will be helpful. Now, as a Christian, we're always called to pray for one another. We're always called to check in and do the practical things, but there's some things that people can be involved in that would need professional attention. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong in using the body. We're all gifted in different ways, and we want to use all of our resources to be able to help. We're fortunate that we live in Montgomery County, as a matter of fact, because Montgomery County has a lot of resources that are available and people who are quick to intervene in crisis situations to walk with people in the long term. And we are called, again, to bear one another's burdens, but you have to be wise in how you handle that. The word bear means to carry. The original word meant to lift or to carry something heavy. So in the most literal translation, it means to pick something up to carry it away. As Paul employed this figurative sense, he meant for us to reach out to our brothers and sisters in times of difficulty and to help. And we want to do things that lessen the load. So if you were paying close attention as I read Galatians 6, 1 through 5, you might have noticed what seemed to have been a contradiction, though. Verse 2 said, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. But then verse 5 says, for each should carry his own load. So which is it? Does that mean we should bear one of those burdens or not? Well, what we can't see in the English language was, in fact, two different meanings of the word. In verse 1, it meant to bear, meant to carry a heavy crushing load, something that more than one person would need to carry. Verse 5, the word was used generally as a designation for a backpack that a soldier would carry. It's the burden that Jesus Christ assigns to his followers. There are certain responsibilities that all of us have as Christians, and we are called to bear those burdens. But thankfully, Jesus Christ said to his disciples that his burdens are light. In Matthew 11, 13, he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So there are things that we have to carry alone, but there are other things that we're called to help carry. The final thing that I want you to notice about the command is that it comes with a promise. It says that if we are faithful to carry each other's burdens, then we will be fulfilling the law of Christ. So, what is the law of Christ? Well, we conclude from the scriptures that the law of Christ is the law of love. The law of Christ is to love one another as he has loved us. We started the One Another series, like I said, with that as the foundation, to love one another as I've loved you, so you must love one another. I guess another way of saying that would be love your neighbor as yourself. Bearing the burdens of others is a genuine expression of love and ultimately fulfills everything that God wants us to be and do. So, with that as the command, here's the application. This is how we're to apply it. And if you're a note taker, if you look on the back of your worship folder, you have an opportunity there to jot down some notes. So before we get into the specifics of the burdens and how they must be borne and how to bear them, let's make a couple of important observations. The first one is that Christians will have burdens to bear. Now, there are a lot of teachings in the church right now. It's a common and popular belief that if you're a Christian, that everything is going to be ice cream and lollipops and roses. And frankly, that just has not been my experience. Christians are not exempt from difficulty, troubles, and burdens. That's not even a biblical idea. The Bible is pretty clear that Christians will face adversity. If you remember what Brother James says, in chapter 1, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. We even notice that even the great people of the faith in the Bible had their share of suffering. Consider Job and the Apostle Paul. So, with that said, the second point is, Christians, we too will have burdens to carry. Our burdens may vary in kind and intensity, but all of us have burdens of one kind or another. They occur at one time or another. I like the story of this woman who had lost her son and couldn't get over her grief. So she went to a wise old man and asked him what to do. And he told her to go find a home where there was no sorrow or grief, and then bring back mustard seed from that home, and then he would restore her son. So she threw herself into this search for many days. And when she returned, she approached the wise man and she said simply, "I've been so selfish in my grief. I've discovered that sorrow has come to every home." You know, when you look around in your congregation today, all of us have burdens. There's heartache in every person's life. We all have problems and cares that weigh us down and that are a burden to bear. So what are some of these burdens and what may we need help in bearing? There's the burden of sorrow and grief. There are burdens of sickness and aging. There are burdens of emotional difficulties, emotional scars of the past. There's burdens of difficult marriages. There's burden of children with special needs and with rebellious spirits. There's burden of unemployment or underemployment. There's the burden of the consequences of our actions for employment. Those are just a few comments that people need help carrying. So if those are the burdens that people are carrying, and I'm sure that's just the tip of the iceberg, there are many, many more, I guess, how do you help? How do you help carry burdens? Well, once you have a heart that's willing to help carry others' burdens, I think there are two important things that you need to know. First, you have to realize that you're not the only one. It's not all about you, that other people have burdens too. So write that on your forehead. You're not the only one with burdens. Other people have burdens too. And the second thing that you need to know is that you have to be willing to allow people to help you with those burdens. You have to realize that helping to bear another person's burden actually requires you to be in community and involved in other people's lives. And if we're not open and honest in our struggles, nobody will know what your burden is. If we're not observant when we're walking around, you won't notice that others are struggling. And if you don't spend time with other people, you won't be close enough know what their struggles are. You know, it's great every Sunday when we get together during our time of welcome. That's only 30 seconds, 2 minutes at the most. And in those 2 minutes, how can you really share? Somebody will say, I'm fine. And then you go on to the next person. But that's not being in community. Once we have an idea that someone needs help carrying their burdens, then that person needs to let us help them. So, how often are we unwilling to do that? And what keeps us from doing that? Is it pride? Are we supposed to always be able to stand on our own feet? I mean, do we feel embarrassed if we need help? That what keeps us from asking? Or maybe we feel that we're supposed to be so mature and so spiritual that our faith in God will be enough. And we will just depend on Him and no one else. In fact, doesn't the Bible even say something like that, that we should cast all our cares upon the Lord? Well, yes, it does say that. Psalm 55:22 says, "Cast your cares on the Lord. He will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall." 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Cast all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you." Yes, absolutely. We should take our troubles to the Lord, no matter what they are. And we should trust that He'll give us grace and strength to endure. But we also need to recognize one small little point. God often uses other people as His agents to help us carry. Third point is just that God helps us carry our burdens to other people. Even the Apostle Paul needed help. This is what he said in his own life. He said, "For when we came into Macedonia, this body of ours had rest. But we were harassed at every turn, conflicts on the outside, fears within, But God comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not only by his coming, but also by the comfort you had given him. He told us about your longing for me, your deep sorrow, your ardent concern for me, so that my joy was greater than ever. Isn't that amazing? Paul knew that God comforted him through Titus. You know, ultimately, we are God's eyes, ears, mouth, and hands to help others. So let's be sure that we're cultivating relationships that are close enough that we can share burdens and know each other's scars. And let's love each other enough to want to help those who are burdened. And let's be humble enough to be willing to receive loving assistance from others. You know, I want to give you an example out of my own life, and I'm not telling you this because I'm proud of it. I'm telling you this as a, like I always tell you, that the Lord doesn't let you up here without first working it out in your own life. So I think that's why the scriptures exhort us, not all of us should subscribe to try and be teachers, because it's a tough road, aspiring to teachers, I should say. So, like I said, last week I was at camp with the kids, Impact in Virginia, and we were working construction. And every day we asked the kids the same questions. Where did you see God today? And we also asked the kids, why do you think God has you? And there are four reasons why God began. One, to minister to people within your own youth group. Second reason may be to minister to the person in your work group, because the kids are divided up into different work crews so that they can get to meet other kids and churches and leaders can minister to them. The third reason is to minister to the homeowner, because a lot of the projects that the kids do are working on individual homes, putting on roofs, helping families that just don't have resources to do that type of work themselves. And the last reason that you could be there is to work on a house. So, you know, there are all kinds of reasons that God could have you there. And Pastor Paula had to figure out why God had her. Because frankly, I'm not a construction person. You know, I'm tough. I can follow instructions, but I'm certainly don't know. I'm not a roofer. I don't really. My finger really hurts because I kept getting it with a hammer. I'm not good there. So I kind of thought, I don't think God wants you here to do the house. I don't think that that's the reason. And my homeowners were Hispanic from Peru. Lovely family. We did get to know them through a translator. But I don't speak Spanish. So I don't know if I was really called to be there to minister directly to family in that way. And of course, our kids, I'm with them all the time, and so my voice is basically like womp 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 to them, because I'm talking to them all the time, you know. So you know how that is, and so they need to hear a different voice sometimes. So I let camp be that time where other adults can speak into their life, and I pray that one day they come back and say, oh, you know, Grandma was right. She wasn't as crazy as we thought. These other people were saying the same thing. So what I found out is my duty last week is to be there to minister to some of the other people on our site, on our crew. So it's kind of an involved story, and if you'll bear with me, I think it'll bless you. I won't name names because you do know some of involved, but there's a woman here, dear woman, who's been a member of this church for a very long time. She has a heart for youth, and every year she has given scholarships, and she's done a lot to support the youth ministry, and I depend on her a lot. And she gave me a call a week and a half ago. It was exactly 4 days before we were supposed to leave to go to Impact. Now, Paula, I need to ask you a favor. Of course, count it a privilege. What can I do? I need you to take a special needs girl to camp with you. You need what? I need you to take a special needs student to camp with you. And I was like, well, I mean, we're going on a construction site. I mean, what are we talking about here? I mean, special needs, I mean, there's a big spectrum. I mean, I have special needs, you know. What are we talking about here? And she said, well, I'm not really sure. I've had dinner with her and she seemed okay. I was like, okay, there's a big difference in having dinner with somebody and then wheeling a hammer, you know. And she said, well, I tell you what, you just come and meet this family and then you can decide after that. This is Wednesday. We are leaving Sunday. I'm like, okay, really? I've got my own things. I'm trying to pack. I'm trying to get my own kid to camp. I've got these kids I'm responsible for. We're trying to merge these two churches to go for the first time. They don't know us. We don't know them. You want to throw a stranger in the mix? On top of all of that, I've got a funeral of a dear friend that I've got to go to. I don't have time for this. This is what your pastor says, okay? To myself. I wouldn't have dare said that to her. But this is what I was thinking. So I said, okay. So went to the funeral, and that was Friday. It was week ago Friday. And then went to her house for lunch. There I met this young lady and her mother, and they were delightful. Absolutely delightful. In fact, I ended up being there for a couple of hours just chatting. The woman was a reporter and had seen so much of the world, had seen the Berlin Wall come down, and just one of those people that you say something and a story would come out, and not in an obnoxious, I know everything kind of way, just a gracious woman, you know. And her daughter was really quiet and shy, and I kind of expected that. What do you expect from a 13, 14-year-old girl? And so I looked her in the eye, one mother to mother, and I said, okay, now listen, you've got to understand that I am responsible for a lot of children. Will your daughter be able to, you know, withstand the rigors of what we're doing? And she's like, oh, yeah, she'll be fine. As a matter of fact, I'll come too. And I was like, okay, well, that takes pressure off. If you're willing to come, that's fine. You'll be on my work site and we'll be together. Now, as God would have this, this woman and I get to talk all week. And she begins to unroll her story. She adopted this daughter. She adopted her at a late age. She was 55 years old and she adopted two children from right outside of Russia. I don't know if you know anything about Russian children and adoptions, but generally children who are in orphanages in that part of the world, it's hard. There's a lot of need there, and they have a very difficult time making transitions here and when they're placed in homes. So this woman and I have a lot in common, because for those of you who don't know me, I was an older parent when I adopted my daughter, and so that puts me on the same page. And so I'm trying to weave this story to you to show you how God was preparing my life experiences to meet with this woman. So as we continue to talk, we had agreed that her daughter would come and work with us during the day, and then she would go home at night because she lived right down the street. This child meets our group, and I can only tell you, she opened up like a flower and blossomed. Her mother started to cry. This girl was like she had been with our group forever. Our group was so kind and so gracious to her. I did not, you know, it's funny because I didn't even know the kids. I didn't tell them, I just said, have guests come with us, because I'll be honest with you, I wanted to see how they would treat her. I wanted to see how the kids at FBCG would treat her and how our own children would treat her. And the report today is that both groups could not have been more loving, could not have been more gracious, this child is not a child that interacts with other children. And I'm telling you, she was talking a hole in my head by the time we started. By Thursday, she was completely comfortable with us, and her mother came to me early in the morning, and she said she got two tutors, the one that was with us, and another child who has some very severe emotional problems, severe enough to the point where the child has had is been institutionalized, and this is a burden that this mom carries. And it's not one that she shares. The person from our church has known this story. I did not know it, and I felt honored that she shared this. When I tell you the story is horrific of her daughter and some things that she has gone through, I can only say that the family has been through emotional, financial, marital turmoil over this other daughter. It's a horrific situation that involves sexual abuse, internet pornography. I mean, it just the most base and vile situation that you can think of, this family has been through with this child. And now it's time for the child to be reintegrated at home. And the mother was out. The father travels a lot. He's in Africa right now. And as I said, there's been a lot of tension. Now, I tell you all of this to tell you not to put their business in one place. And it's not my heart this morning. I tell you this one to give a prayer for the family. But I tell you this because you never know what people are going through. And for this mother to have the relief for just a couple of days after she told me this story, I told her, you need to go home. You need to find your center. I will be in prayer for you. I promise you that. And you just need to figure out the next 48 hours before your daughter comes back home from camp. She is safe. We have her. You have nothing to worry about. But you need to go home. Center yourself and figure out your next steps while your husband is out of country and how you will receive your daughter to your home. She looked at me and she just sobbed. She said, I have never been able to leave my daughter. I've never felt like my daughter was safe. I never thought that I would meet a stranger and strangers would take my daughter in and you would minister to way. And I thank you, and I was like, it's not me, it's God, I want you to be, and I'm just responding with this. So you go do you. And I guess I would tell you today that bearing one another's burdens is what we're called to do. And it's not even like I was able to even do anything. I mean, really, the only pray for her and keep in touch with her. But you know, sometimes it's just a matter of weeping with those who are weeping. The only thing that I could do was weep with this mother and feel physically ill with this mother for what she's going through. And sometimes that's enough. That's what we're called to do. So with all of that said, we're called to lift each other up. And we're called to minister. We're called to make sure that nobody's left behind. And that nobody's left behind. Father God, I thank you for the powerful reminder that you gave me this week about bearing one another's burdens. the word says that when we do this, we fulfill the law of Christ. Help us this week as we go to have our eyes open, our ears open. Give us a special sensitivity to those around us. Father, you placed us all in a very specific mission field. Our jobs, our homes, our schools. You've put us in very specific places, and I believe for very specific reasons. That's to be your life, your hands, your feet, in a lost and hurting world. Help us, Father, to be faithful in ministering and loving, because you first loved us. And we say this in the Son, Jesus Christ's name.